Welcome to the Drip Drop Hour with your host, Robert Littell, where no topic is off limits and the power of positivity reigns supreme.
Don't you dare be sour! Clap for the new day and feel the power!
It's a new day. Yes, it is. I know. You're probably upset. It's been a few weeks since we had a podcast. It's been a while. This is episode 75. It was supposed to happen weeks ago. In my defense, today is June the 19th. I officially left for the NBA Finals on May 31st. I've literally been in my apartment maybe 3 days this entire month. I've seen Ellie only like twice this entire month. And when I saw her, she looked at me like, "You've abandoned me." That's my defense. I know I promised you guys many, many, many weeks ago when we first started this that I would never miss an episode. But then I moved the BSO operations to California. It's a lot more things that are happening on a pretty much daily basis. So sometimes it's been a little hard to get in a full hour of the actual Drip Drop Hour. I know there's been some short shows, some one-topic shows, and in some cases, no shows. But you have to look at it like I try to look at everything in life, glass half full. You guys have known me for a while. You know how I talk. You know how I think. You know the way my brain works. You've heard me talk many times about media, racial issues, marketing, promotion, websites, new media, old media. So you guys knew about me before I asked Kevin Durant a question about Rihanna and was on everybody's television sets for 24 hours, maybe 48 hours. You knew that before. People like, "Who is this guy?" You already knew who it was. You was like, "That's your boy. That's my boy. That's Robert Littell. I listen to his podcast every week, and he talks like this all the time. Same voice, same questions, same reactions." So glass half full. You guys could have went into your office, went to your job, went to your girl's house, went to your guy's house. Well, maybe not your guy's house, because I don't think you should have went to your guy's house being like, "Hey, I know that guy on TV. I'm not trying to break up any happy homes." But whatever the case, you know, you went to the gym or whatever, and you could say, "Hey, I know that guy. I've been following him on Twitter for years. I've been reading the site. I've been on Instagram. I listen to the podcast. We're friends." And hopefully that helped you in your day-to-day operations. I've been doing this for a long time. It's not my first rodeo. I'm pretty well known in media circles. Pretty well known in my genre of media, my niche in media, which is online primarily. I've done NBA finals before. I've done Super Bowls, big fights. You guys all know this. So this wasn't brand new. I know what I'm doing. What I found interesting, though, I found really interesting about the entire thing was, it's just funny to me, because you have to understand, a lot of you guys probably started in your social media world, what, you know, probably the earliest for a lot of you, especially young people, was what, maybe 2009, 2010. And if you're even younger, maybe you got 2011, 2012, 2014 or whatever, right? A lot of people, you know, just started getting a lot of their news from their phones and things like that probably in the last 5 years or so. So what's always interesting to me is that if you've been around as long as I've been around, the way that I conduct business and do stories and things like that, it's not new to me. We were doing these things 5, 6, 7 years ago. And it's just interesting to me how now it's mainstream acceptable, which is wild to me, to be honest with you, that now mainstream media, they want to be cool. They want to be like Black Sports Online. They want to be like Robert Littell. And what's funny about it, especially as the series went on, was that you could try to see some of these media people ask questions the way I ask questions, because they were trying to get their viral story, their viral reaction and stuff. But what people don't understand, just like anybody that's biting off somebody else, is that I'm an original. Like, this is actually me. This is not an act. This is not a performance. This is not something that I took from someone else. It's actually how I am and how I talk to people and how I talk to players and athletes and entertainers. It's because I've crossed over in all of these different avenues. I'm very comfortable just talking. One of the media guys there, after the series was over, he was like, LeBron seems so at ease when he talks to you, like you guys are having a conversation, as opposed to just kind of a question and answer. And you know what I told him was that that's because I'm just talking to him. Not, yeah, I'm asking a question. I'm trying to do my job. I'm trying to get, you know, information. But the way I'm asking it is in a way that it makes him want to answer it, because it's not prepackaged, so to speak. It's just interesting to see. And you see all these people that for years are complaining about, oh, that's not news, or this is gossip, and you know, you're not legitimate, and blah, blah, blah. And you hear all of this stuff, and then you see what I always try to tell people, you know, not to go all Jay-Z on you, but, you know, the numbers don't lie. So, and not even numbers, but you have to look at what is actually happening to understand, like, if what you're doing is the right or wrong thing. You know, if you are doing something and it blows up and becomes the biggest thing that happens, that's a good indicator that no matter what somebody else is telling you, what somebody on Twitter or Facebook is telling you, that you're doing the right thing. So that's important for you, young journalists. And I can't stress this enough. You can't be Robert Littell. Okay? Just like I can't be Rachel Nichols. You see what I'm saying? Like, you have to be whatever you are. I'm just lucky that being me gives a man, you know, the way I project myself, just being myself, people seem to like. It seems to work. But it also works because that's just who I am. So there's no fakeness, there's no pretentiousness to it. It's just me. And I tell people this all the time. I only started becoming successful when I stopped worrying so much about what people wanted me to be or what I thought things should be, and just was myself. And start writing about things that I wanted to write about, talking about things that I want to talk about in a way that I wanted to talk about them. Everybody else's podcast is kind of like all segmented and regimented. We just talk. I feel like I'm talking to someone and having a conversation with them. And, you know, it took me a few podcasts to kind of get a feel of how I wanted to do it. But then when it became more therapeutic, just kind of getting this stuff off of my chest to tell you guys, believe it or not, people started to like it more. Because it was just being me. And so, you know, I appreciate, you know, I can't even put into words how much I appreciate the people, because I'm not like every you have to have like a sort of confidence and a little bit of arrogance, you know, to work in this industry. So I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to be sit down, be humble. You know, I'm not trying to say that. I would like to think I'm very agree, you know, very what's the word that I'm looking for? I can be a little bit over the top. And I have no problem tooting my own horn at times. But I do appreciate it, and I totally understand that I don't exist without the people. Because let me tell you something. A lot of these journalists, a lot of these people that you read, a lot of these people that you see on TV, they exist not because of you, just because they got a break. You know, they knew somebody that knew someone. They're not very good at their jobs. It's just they have a job. They've had it for a long time. They know the right people. They're white. But they're not very good. You know, people sometimes get on us about, you know, typos and things like that. You know, people don't understand that when, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not calling out any names, but when someone submits a 1,000-word piece to ESPN or SI or something like that, it's not perfectly grammatical. And they got a $60,000 a year editor on that piece that's cleaning it all up for them. I wish I had $60,000 to pay someone to fix up all of my articles. But to me, it's not because, you know, you've got an ED or an and or a comma. It's the crux of what you're trying to say, which is important, be it verbally, visually, or written. And frankly, a lot of these guys are not very good. But, you know, I'm not hating on them. Hey, if some people may say I'm not very good. Whatever the case, you know, they have a job. But unlike them, all of my success is predicated on you. I don't have a big corporation or company paying me or anything. I'm all independent. It's not nobody. There's no one pulling my strings. It's 100% black owned. So, you know, if you guys don't support me, then, you know, I fail. And there was an outpouring of support. And what I've learned is the older that I've gotten and the less that I pay attention to the negativity, I see more of the positive. I see all of these people, you know, when I show up, you know, ESPN or whatever, NBA TV, all these people are like, I'm proud. That's Rob. I see Rob like getting that shine. They're sending me videos. They're sending me pictures. They're sending me all these I got so many messages I haven't even gotten through all of the messages and the DMs and stuff. And if I haven't got to your DM or your message, it's just that I got so much. I'm so backed up. But don't think I didn't see it and I didn't appreciate it, because I do. And the one thing that it's very important that you guys understand is that you can't just sit back and be like, okay, I did that one great thing. and, you know, just kind of sit on your laurels. No, you got to keep working. You know, I did my thing in the finals. I turned right back around, and I'm right there in the pit getting that Mayweather exclusive. I'm right there at the presser after the Ward fight talking to him about the controversy and getting you guys the scoop on that. I'm digging for scoops. You know, how much the I told you that Mayweather and McGregor was going to happen a week before it happened. Told you to book your rooms. Giving you the prices of the pay-per-view and the hotel hookups. So you got to work. Like, it's great to be a personality. It's great to get on. It's great to go viral. You know, but then something else is going to happen the next day. You got to be on it. And that's what I pride myself on being. I'm being on it. And unfortunately, because of that, there's only 24 hours in a day. And sometimes that means I'm going to miss out on doing some posts because I have to be somewhere. I'll miss out doing a podcast. I'll miss out on an event just out of exhaustion or something. But don't think I'm not out here working. Not just for me. I mean, I am doing it for me because, you know, I like my view from the balcony, you know, looking at the beach. But I'm out here working for you guys because who else is going to protect Colin Kaepernick? Who else is going to show you about the racial injustice that's happening in our society? I wasn't always all into politics and stuff like that. You know, I'm black, so I'm aware of things that are going on. But I think it's important when you have a voice like mine, especially now that I'm at a peak popularity, that I make sure that when these people are trying to talk down to a Colin Kaepernick and ignore the issues about black men being murdered by the cops and the cops getting off all this racial discrimination, our dumbass president, it's important that I keep moving and I keep talking about this. So, you know, I might miss a podcast here and there. And, you know, I apologize for that. Might not get you a whole hour every time. But don't think I'm not out here fighting for you guys and trying to put out the best product that I can do and keep striving and keep trying to do everything that I know that is important to the brand, is important to my people. And when I say my people, it's not just black people. You know, I'm black, so obviously I feel responsibility for my race. But when I say my people, I mean anybody that supports me. Black, white, Kaepernick, or otherwise. Because I know there's a lot of white people that support me. I know there's a lot of Latino people that support me. I got Asian fans that support me. I got a lot of women, black women, that I really try to stand behind. White women, whatever. I appreciate you all. Not to go all DJ Khaled on you, but, you know, I do. I appreciate you. And I hope you recognize that I'm out here, I'm working, you know, trying to do the best thing, you know, for my family, for you guys, for the people that write for me, for all you young people out there. And I'm going to keep trying to work, you know, towards whatever that bigger goal going to be. And I'm never going to me in this, I mean, come on. I cover sports. I cover entertainment. I'm not in the army. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a teacher. So, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, it's so hard. No, it's not. It's sports. It's red carpets. It's movie premieres. You know, my life is not bad. It's not bad at all. So the least I can do is try to help out people as much as I possibly can. And that's what I'm going to try to continue to do. So let's talk about super teams. That's the new hot button word, super teams. Super teams. LeBron says he's never been on a super team. KD tried to downplay super teams. Everybody wants to talk about super, 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 super teams. Let me talk to you about something first before we get into what is or what isn't a super team. Free agent. Keyword, free. I've talked about this before. when Kevin Durant first signed with the Warriors. Our society at times and fans are backwards when it comes to sports. And fan is short for fanatic, so I understand to an extent. But I really don't. If you put in your time and you have a contract and your contract is up and you are a free agent, the operative word being free, you can do whatever you want. People's number one concern in life, besides, you know, probably their kids, like your kids always come first. After that, you have to look out for yourself. Kevin Durant doesn't have any kids, so let's look out for himself. And frankly, does it really matter to me or to you or the garbage man or the guy that works at 7-Eleven what Kevin Durant does? I mean, I understand it because fans are crazy, but I don't understand it because in any scenario, in anybody's life where they were free to do whatever they wanted to do, and someone or a group of people told them that they were X, Y, and Z because they did what they wanted to do, that person would get upset. You can't tell me what to do. I was free to do that. You know, if you had a day off of work, and on your day off of work, you decide to go swimming. And someone was like, why you go swimming? You should have went hiking. You should have went bicycle riding. Should have went to the zoo. Why'd you go swimming? You soft. Why you getting the water? What's the matter with you? You look at them like they were crazy. My day off, I want to go swimming. I'm going to go swimming. But only in sports, when someone does something free, the free will, they get chastised for it. Only in sports, which is another backwards thing that I don't understand, is the goal of team sports is to win the championship, right? There can only be one champion every year. I'm going to assume that everybody wants to win that championship. So that's the goal, is to win the title. When you don't win titles, especially if you're an elite player, people rag on you about it. Yeah, he was great, but he never won a championship. Yeah, he was this, but he never won a title. Yeah, his numbers look good, but he wasn't a leader. They rag on you about this specific point, this specific fact. Think about all the times you watch Inside the NBA this year, and Shaq and Kenny brought up the fact that Charles Barkley never won a title. It's always a extra to it when you don't win a title. He was great. He was this. He was that. He blah, blah, blah. He just never won a championship. Just never got that title. And sports is one of those type of things where, as you know, it's not like you can go back. Like, you go back to college, right, and get a degree. You can't go back when you're 60 years old and go win a title. Dan Marino can't go back right now and, you know, go play for the Browns or something and try to win a title. Can't do that, right? The goal is to win the game, as Herm Edwards used to say. You play to win the game, to win the championship. So, as a player, who's a free agent. You have all of these people pitching you. Logically, you should look for the team that gives you the best chance to win the championship. So if you're Kevin Durant, in any other genre of business, in any country, in any land, if Kevin Durant was sitting at a table and he had Apple and IBM and whatever, all of these different companies pitching him, and he had Apple, he had IBM, he had BlackBerry, he had Sprint, T-Mobile, right? And you know that the iPhone is the most successful phone that's out there. Better than the BlackBerry, better than T-Mobile, Sprint, or whatever. Better than whatever Google is trying to do, Samsung. And all of these people are pitching to you, and you say, hey, you come to Apple, and you know you automatically are going to be on, you know, the best team with the best chance to become a billionaire or whatever. What you're saying is that Kevin Durant should go to BlackBerry, make it harder on himself to go up against Apple, because you like to make things harder on yourself than they have to be. I can see why a lot of you would be failures at business. Because, you know, actually, I don't even think you'd be fair, because I don't think you'd be that stupid. I think it sounds good to say Kevin Durant is soft, his title doesn't matter, and it's a, you know, he bought it. All of that stuff. It sounds good, I guess, to tweet and make little memes about memes, as I like to call them. But practicality, it just is untrue. Just like, you know, LeBron won a title in a lockout season. Nobody said anything about that. He had to play less games than the other guy, than the other seasons. His title shouldn't mean as much. The man won his championship. And the thing about Kevin Durant, which is different than a lot of players that have tried to get on teams to win championships, is that you can make a strong case that the Warriors do not win the championship without Kevin Durant. You can physically see the difference that he makes in the team when they go up against the Cavaliers. You could say that, hey, if that wasn't Kevin Durant out there, some of these games might have went a different way. Not saying that the Warriors couldn't win without him, because obviously they got to a seventh game and won the year before. But he made it a lot easier, which is the whole point. Work smarter, not harder. If anything, more players should be like Kevin Durant. They want to win. You know, you're averaging 33, 34 points in the finals, you're not being carried. You're carrying other people. That's not being carried. That's not being a bandwagon. A bandwagon is like averaging like 5 points. And like coming to the team like mid-season. Yeah, you got carried to a title. Nobody carried Kevin Durant to a title. If anything, he just made sure that the Warriors were going to win a title. So that's just stupid. So don't be stupid. Like I said, I understand. It's social media. You guys got to... You know, you gotta say this stuff. But you just sound dumb. And I had an actual decent discussion with someone about this. As far as what is the right levels of emotion for fandom, I guess. Right? So I'm not a crazed fan for any like sports per se, but you can say I'm a fan of like the WWE, right? A fan of wrestling. Like what I would consider like a legit fan. Not, you know, like, yeah, I cover wrestling, but I'm a fan. I talk about the sport in a fan type of way. But for me, like, if I see them do stupid stuff, like the WWE does from time to time, my annoyance levels with it are there, but they don't really have an effect on my, like, daily outlook on life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sad because Roman Reigns gets, you know, shoved down our throat, or they have James Ellsworth get the Money in the Bank for Carmella. John Cena disappears for like 30 weeks at a time. Like, and I didn't get, you know, Cena and The Undertaker like I wanted. Like, annoyance, yes. But am I like, does it change my mood? Like, if I was in a good mood, does it make me in a bad? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I know that's hard for people to understand. Like, you know, I'm the biggest Ohio State fan of all time. I'm alumni. That's family to me. Like, if they lose, like, yeah, I'm like, man, that's my school. They lost. But it just doesn't have an effect on me. Like, I'm not going to, like, punch any walls. I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to go on YouTube and make weird videos and stuff. I'm not going to, you know, if people are, like, trolling me over a loss, like, I'm like, I guess I'm supposed to be bothered by this. It's not really bothering me at all. So it's just hard for me that people are, you know, like, burning jerseys and spending a lot of time, like, tweeting about their emotions, because I would have figured they have other things in life to really be, you know, upset about. Like, emotions to me, and maybe I'm just not an emotional guy, but being upset about something has to touch, like, real life to me. And it has to be, like, something I'm involved with. You know, like, if you care about a young lady and you guys are going through it, that can affect your mood, right? Because you care about that person. Something's going on with your family health-wise. It can affect your mood. You know, if your job is unstable, you're unhappy at your job, that can affect your mood. You know, LeBron losing the championship doesn't bother me at all. Kevin Durant winning one, don't really care. It just doesn't bother me. Like, do I get excited about watching games? Absolutely. These are some of the greatest athletes of our time, and I get to watch them live and talk to them. That's awesome. It's a great job. Like I said, the job in and of itself puts me in a good mood most of the time. But once it's over, do I care? No, not really. I really don't. And it's odd to me that you people care as much as you do. It's odd to me that, you know, when I first got on social media, right? Like, I mean, honestly, social media has been around, you know, for a minute in different forms and variations. You know, like, I go back as far as, like, a lot of the forums and the message boards and stuff. I mean, we're talking like 12, 13, you know, years back, you know, 14. Actually, I was in Yahoo chat rooms back when I was in college. I mean, so we're talking a long time. But kind of like this modern day social media, I think you could get caught up in this world of talking to people that honestly, their whole reason for being on there is just to kind of start stuff. You know what I mean? Like, just to be trolls. And that's a bad loop to be in. And I would say it was easier for me to be in that loop when I lived in St. Louis because I didn't have as much to do. Now I'm out and about as much, so I don't have to interact with these people as much because I'm actually doing stuff. But I don't know, man. I just think people are weird. People are weird. Like, it just is weird to hear someone say, well, you know, he sucks or such and such because he went to the best team. Okay. that's what I would do if I wanted to win. I would go to the best team. And even if I didn't go to the best team, it doesn't matter. I go to wherever I felt would make me the happiest person. And if that was still in OKC, fine. That's in Golden State, great. If it's with the Lakers, who cares? Free agent, do whatever the hell you want. The only thing I always said with Kevin Durant was, you know, it put a lot of pressure on him in the sense that if they didn't win, you know, he was going to be blamed. And the interesting thing about it is, like, it doesn't really matter what happens. There's always going to be somebody complaining about something. Like I said, if you stay in OKC and you lose in the Western Conference Finals, they're going to destroy you. If you go to the Warriors and you win the Finals, they're still going to talk. If you lose the Finals, they're going to kill you. You know, LeBron brought a title back to Cleveland for the first time in like 800 years, and he was great. You lose again, and they right back at him. So really, like somebody told me a long time ago, when I used to worry way too much about what people thought, people that I didn't know, said, listen, Rob, people are going to say something negative regardless. So if they are, you might as well do what you want to do. Because they're going to talk either way. Meaning that, you know, if you do, you know, like I used to, it's so funny to me because people will always talk about the not sports stories. And I would get frustrated because we would do like 10 sports stories and then, you know, one not sports story, and then somebody would start complaining about the one not sports story. But I just kind of learned that is the people that are for you, that support you, they're going to see it. They're going to see the sports story. They'll see the not sports. They don't care. They just are supporting you. They just entertained by you. You know, people are like, oh, you don't ever do sports, but I'm at every sporting event. But then when I'm at the sporting event, they're like, oh, how he get in there? Well, obviously because I know how to cover sports. But that's just people that, what I noticed about those people, well, those were people that didn't follow me, didn't really know who I was or what I was about. They're just seeing what other people are saying, or they're just seeing one story. They haven't been a decider or anything, and they just wanted to get their hot take off. So, you know, my lesson to you guys is just do what you want. Like Kevin Durant, do what you want. Work. Don't worry about what other people say. Work smarter, not harder. So back to super teams, because that's what we were talking about before I got sidetracked a little bit. My first point to that is, who wouldn't want to be on a super team? Who wouldn't want to create a super team? Why would you want to create an average team? An okay team. A little bit better than average, but not great team. Great, but not super team. Everybody should want to create a super team. You're not trying hard enough if that's not the goal. The goal should be the best team that is possible that money can buy, that can be drafted, traded, free agents, whatever. Your goal as a franchise should be to be super. So first off, props to Golden State. They shouldn't be getting, you know, dinged. They shouldn't be getting criticized. They should be getting applauded. You got Kevin Durant, you got Steph Curry, you got Draymond Green, you got Klay Thompson, Iguodala off the bench, JaVale McGee. Okay, maybe not JaVale McGee, but you get what I'm saying. That should be commended that they were able to do this and potentially set themselves up for, they already have two championships, potentially setting themselves up for 3, 4, 5, 6 championships. Are you kidding me? You gonna criticize that? That's just stupid. If I'm an owner of a team, I want a super team. Big S and everything, like Superman on my chest. I'll walk around with a cape in offices all day, on the court. Big S on my chest. Super team, that's what I got. As far as who created the first super team, that's all semantics. I mean, super teams have been around since the beginning of the NBA. You know, the Minneapolis Lakers were a super team. You know, the thing about it is different rules and different eras, the way that the super team was created was just different. You know, the Celtics could hoard all of these Hall of Fame players because there was no, you know, free agency. So, of course, they can keep all of the great players in a league that wasn't that big, so they didn't have as much competition. They didn't have to do that many rounds of the playoffs, a lot less games of the playoffs, different rules as far as, you know, how they could be, players could be guarded and all different type of stuff. So it led to them being a super team. You know, probably the 70s was the last time you could say there was like legit parity in the NBA. You know, the 80s is a combination of good drafting, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, getting players from the ABA, say someone like, you know, Dr. J, goes to the Sixers. But you look at those Celtic teams, you know, it wasn't just Larry Bird. I mean, you got Robert Parrish, you got Dennis Johnson, you got, you know, Kevin McHale. You had people like Bill Walton coming off the bench. I mean, this wasn't lightweights that we're talking about. You know, Lakers with, you know, Magic, they traded for Kareem. Imagine trading for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That would be like trading for LeBron right now. Yeah, Magic, Kareem, Worthy, Scott. You know, people like Rambison and A.C. Green. Those were super teams. But it's just the way that they were built. Be a trade, good draft, and everything. You know, you go to the 90s and, you know, the Bulls. And, of course, you have Michael Jordan. But as I tell people all the time, you know, Michael Jordan wouldn't win squat just with Michael Jordan. The Bulls became a super team because they drafted well. They drafted Horace Grant. They drafted Scottie Pippen. Without those drafts, there's no Michael Jordan going 6-0 in NBA Finals. And even after the first three, you know, when Horace Grant leaves for free agency, if they don't get a Dennis Rodman, it's likely they don't win three more. So sometimes it's just strategic, you know, moves. Now, the one difference with LeBron, which is, I would say, led to what happened with KD and probably others, is to me, LeBron had led this, the summer of LeBron really led to this needing to be pitched superstar free agents. And it also led to like these big grand announcements. And it also led to players secretly and now publicly, if you look at social media, courting each other to team up. That's the difference between LeBron super teams and the ones of the past, is that it was a coordinated effort on LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh to get together. That's a little bit different than the Celtics because, you know, that was just that was more general manager buddy-buddy stuff to get KD, to get Ray Allen, and then, you know, Paul Pierce. So, yeah, that was kind of the original big three, but it was done in a way that had been done with the NBA for years, where general managers and franchises were giving wink-winks and making deals. You know, LeBron's team was, you know, on a banana boat probably, and came up with this, you know, we're going to team up all in this location and become a, you know, a super team. And even when he went to Cleveland, he still was dictating a lot of the terms. Like, he got rid of Andrew Wiggins and got Kevin Love. That's something that he wanted, you know, to do. Now, in LeBron's defense, I think it's great that the player has the power. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. If, you know, players dictating what they want to do with their careers. And you see more of that now with free agents. You know, just look at what's going on with, you know, Paul George. You know, he's taking control of his career. You know, hey, I'm going to be a free agent. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be a free agent. And, you know, if you decide to trade me, I'm still going to be a free agent. and I'm going to go wherever, you know, I want to go. That's taking a lot of power. You know, you just didn't see that, you know, a lot before LeBron. And I think LeBron has emboldened a lot of these players is that they have the power and they can use it. And I think Kevin Durant, looking at the landscape of things, realizing where he was at in his career and where he wanted his career to go, did something that, you know, wouldn't have been done 5, 10, 15 years ago. But because LeBron did it, and, you know, LeBron is from Ohio, so, I mean, he did it in a much, I would say, cut a lot more deeper than someone like Kevin Durant. That, you know, he's not from Oklahoma. I mean, for goodness sake, they started off in Seattle. So I think, you know, LeBron, in that sense, started this new genre of how super teams are created. They're no longer created through the draft and one, you know, good player maybe comes in on free agency. They're created more so, you know, by maybe some luck in the draft, but then players coming together and recruiting each other to come to the team. You know, the Warriors, to me, are a little different in the sense that LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosh were all free agents and all-stars and decided to collude together to go to one team. Whereas the Warriors were not – the players that are on the Warriors, none of them were projected, besides Kevin Durant, who came later, to be superstar players. You know, Steph Curry had some issues with his ankles – early on, Klay Thompson was not considered to be, you know, much more than a shooter. Draymond Green, obviously a second round, you know, pick, not expected much for that. I mean, he wasn't even on a guaranteed contract. And they grew into this team that was like very, very good. They were great, great players. And then they add a player, and that one player, you know, not colluding with three or four or two or whatever it may be. So in the end, it's all BS, because the whole point is to make the best squad that you can make. You think the Cavs are out here, even though they fired their GM, you think they're out here caring that, you know, or trying to get Paul George or Jimmy Butler because they care about the moniker of super team or not? No, they're trying to win a championship. You know, if you're Boston and you're trading picks and everything, you're trying to win a championship. It doesn't matter who – It's just dumb. Like, nobody's like, hey, you know something, an average team won a title. It doesn't work like that. Even if you look at someone like the Pistons, right, who won that one title against the Lakers when the Lakers were trying to get old man Karl Malone and Gary Payton to ring. You know, the Pistons, once again, it's through drafts and some trades. They didn't have a LeBron or a Kevin Durant, but they had like five dudes that was like all-stars. So, you know, I mean, every team that wins a title, in a sense, is a super team, because you can't win a title if you just don't have guys that are very, very good at the game of basketball. And that should be everybody's goal. Every team goal should be to be a super team. You know, get you a franchise guy, get you two franchise guys, get you an all-star, get you a glue guy, get you a good bench, and then maybe you can compete with the Warriors of the world. So I don't think super team is a bad word, which once again is the backwardsness of our society right now. Super team is a good word. Like, nobody puts super in front of anything and has a negative connotation to it. Like, you don't, like, nobody says, hey, that was super sex, and it'd be bad. You understand what I'm saying? So super team, it's good. It's good. Don't get it twisted. And don't be shocked if LeBron leaves Cleveland. He doesn't like the owner. He's made that very clear. They just fired the GM, more or less, without talking to him. And I want to tell you something, because I was going to write about this at some point, so maybe I should just tell you guys now. I honestly think, you know who LeBron should call? He should call Russell Westbrook, who's also going to be a free agent in 2018. And I think they should go team up in L.A., Wouldn't that be the biggest payback against Kevin Durant? You get Russell Westbrook, LeBron, You got all those young players on the Lakers. All you need is a good number three. Maybe Paul George takes less money or something. And there you go. You're right back in the mix. And we have a built-in storyline. Maybe I'm just looking for the storyline. I don't know. I think that would be a great storyline. LeBron and Westbrook teaming up to try to beat Kevin Durant. If anything, it might shake up KD a little bit. I'm going to write about it just to piss some people off because that's what I do. Speaking of pissing people off, McGregor and Mayweather has been signed. You guys have been talking about that. People want to know why, this is happening. Why is it getting so much attention? I tell you why. Because I cover boxing regularly. I went to ESPN, which does have a boxing section, but it's almost never on the front page of ESPN.com. I went there, and it didn't have anything about Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev, the fight that was actually getting ready to happen. It had 3/4 of the page was Mayweather-McGregor, and that's why the fight has been made. It's as simple as that, is that it's a crossover spectacle. And, I don't have a problem with it. You know why? Because I like to be entertained. And I think a lot of people lose that when they're giving their hot takes and they are on their high horse so much, is that, sports is about entertainment. And in this instance, I really want to be, entertained. And this is going to be entertaining just for the reason that you have these two over-the-top personalities. You have a match that, while there's been guys that have fought in the UFC that at some point crossed over to boxing, but not at this magnitude. And yes, it's totally one-sided, and there's no way that Conor McGregor is going to win, but you're curious, aren't you? And we're naive and gullible enough that if we're told enough, let me give you an example before that I think it'd be much more clearer of what I'm trying to say. Imagine, you listen to the radio, and I know we listen to our apps and all this stuff all the time, but just imagine back in the day when you used to listen to your radio in your car, right? And there was a song that came on, and you didn't particularly care for the song when you first heard it. But then the radio plays it 17,000 times. And eventually the song gets stuck in your head. And you find yourself nodding to it, and you find yourself actually kind of liking the song. It's not even so much that you actually like the song, it's just that it's been so repetitive and beating your head, you just got used to it, and you started to believe that you liked it. This is what's going to happen with McGregor and Mayweather. Even though logically, the majority of you, if not all of you, understand that McGregor has absolutely no shot to win this fight, they're going to say that he has some shot so many times, just enough to put a little doubt in your mind. And that's all they need to get you to buy it. If you believe 2% that he has a 2% chance, you don't want to miss it. So you're going to end up buying it. That's all they need. All they need is 1-2% of doubt. And they're going to try to put that seed into you. Like when I talk to Mayweather, and I'm going to try to go by the training camp too. But when I talk to Mayweather, and at first, it was all, all cool and he was talking to me like a brother, like two black people like normally would talk. But as soon as I started asking him actual questions about McGregor, he went into straight promo mode, trying to build McGregor up into something that he knows that he's not, which is a boxer. But that's how they're going to sell it. They're going to sell it probably at $99 for the pay-per-view, $94. The hotel prices and things online have already exploded. A lot of people are already making their plans to go to Vegas. And, my advice to all of you is understand that what you're paying for, what you're flying in for, is not the fight. It's the spectacle. It's the drama. It's the reality show vibe. It's the rappers that are going to be there. It's the athletes that's going to be there. It's going to be the IG models that's there. And, you know, I learned a lesson with Mayweather and Pacquiao, which I always tell people, even though it was the biggest financial success and most covered boxing fight in the time that I've been in media, it was also the worst time that I actually had at any event in my 12-year career in media. And the reason why is I got caught up, and it wasn't fun because I didn't just let it be. Like, it became stressful, which is not something that I don't have a lot of stress when I'm working. Probably because I don't have a boss, but, you know, to me, once you're there, it's like, you know, that you don't want half the battle. What you got to be stressed, you know, about? But it was stressful, and it was giving me headaches, and it was a lot of political stuff that was going on, a lot of whining. It just was not an enjoyable experience. And I vowed to myself, especially if they had ever had a rematch, that I would never let an event take my joy away like that event did. Now, granted, this one seems to be a little bit more smoothly ran. There's not as much animosity between the UFC and Mayweather as there it was between, you know, Mayweather's side and Pacquiao's side, Top Rank. And Al Heyman and all of that stuff. So this probably is going to go smoother, but trust me, as it gets closer, it's going to be some drama involved. And one of the reasons why is that boxing media and UFC media is a very close-knit fraternity of media. You know, a lot of UFC people, a lot of boxing people, they don't do anything else but UFC and boxing. And it's a different world. It's a different crowd. It's a different vibe. And, you know, I talked about that while I was at the Sergey Kovalev and Andre Ward press conference. Is, you know, going from something like the NBA where, you know, you have a badge that has to be scanned and your photo has to come up. So, you know, even to be let in the building, that has to be checked before you even in the press conference room, to have to raise your hand while you're in the press conference room like you in, you know, seventh grade to ask a question, to basically the free-for-all that is a boxing, you know, presser where there's cursing and people yelling and there's groupies and there's family members and kids and everybody just kind of running around. It's not surprising because I've dealt with it before. It's just a different type of coverage. And what happens is with these big crossover events is that you get the regular, what I like to call media, or maybe the more professional media, and then you get the boxing and UFC media, and they're all colliding, and it's like different, you know, personalities, like putting someone in a room from L.A., and New York, like it's just two different vibes. And before it was just boxing and the regular media. Now it's boxing, UFC, and E! Entertainment probably, or, you know, trying to come. And then you got the problem with credentials, which is something that, you know, it's going to be a headache, and there's going to be some hurt feelings behind it because, like I said, at 99% of boxing and UFC events, it's the same reporters at every event. And they're used to getting credentialed and they know where they stand with everything. You know, when you get these crossover events, then a lot of more media is going to be there than usual. And some people are going to get squeezed out, and that's going to cause some hurt feelings. Like at Mayweather Pacquiao, normally on the boxing beat, there may be one or two ESPN guys. So, you know, Dan Rayfield is the main guy, and you may see, you know, another, you know, guy. They may have maybe two or three at the most, you know, two ringside at the most. you know, with Mayweather Pacquiao, they had like 20 different, you know, reporters, you know, there. I mean, that's a lot of seats, you know, that they're taking out. So as you can imagine, for Mayweather and McGregor, you know, there's going to probably be SportsCenter there. There's going to be a lot more entertainment companies. Like I said, I saw E! Entertainment from Mayweather Pacquiao and all these, you know, Extra and all of this other stuff, they, you know, who have never been in a fight in their life, you know, before. And they're going to want in, you know, on this. And, you know, maybe that boxing blog that is used to getting, you know, credential, but, you know, only gets 100,000 views a month, gets pushed out. It's not fair. A lot of you probably UFC media may get pushed out because all of the media is going to be handled by, you know, Mayweather Productions. I mean, or promotions. They're going to be the ones that decide who gets in and who gets out. So it's going to be something. Like, you know, the one good thing about my career at this point is, you know, I don't have those type of problems anymore. I don't have to worry about stuff like that. Like, there's still some things that, you know, I don't get into, or, you know, not many, but there are some things I still have to, even though I shouldn't have to, you know, having to ask for a favor here and there or just get denied, like, straight up. But those are few and far between, and mainly because I've been around for, you know, I think I covered my first fight in Vegas like 8 years ago. You know, I've covered my first Super Bowl, I think it was 2010. My first NBA Finals, like 2014. So, you know, once you build up the equity, you know, you're good. But I do feel bad for some of the other, like, media people, because it's going to be a cluster, you know what. But if you want to see a lot of, you know, women and drink with Irish people, I would say come. Obviously, there's going to be a ton of rappers, and there's going to be a ton of the club situations. I tried to get into the club where the Warriors were partying last weekend, and I tried all of my little media tricks, and they're like, hell nah, you want a table, it's gonna be $1,000. So that's why you didn't get any pics of me in the club with the Warriors, because I'm not paying $1,000 to get in any club. No, that's not happening. But if you're into that type of thing and you got some discretional income, I would definitely say come. If you're a true boxing fan, obviously the better fight is going to be Canelo and Triple G a couple of weeks afterwards. But that's going to be for more the pure boxing fan, where, you know, McGregor Mayweather is going to be more for the people that say, hey, it's August, you know, but we want to take a vacation, or if you're in college, you want to get out before school starts. And they just want to go party. So, interesting spectacle. I'm not against it. You know, once again, I mean, I guess this is the theme of the podcast this week, is work smarter, not harder. Mayweather is going to end up being 50-0. That's a nice ring. Have a lot of merchandise that you can sell with that. It's going to make $100+ million, you know, for very light work. McGregor, even though he has to get a huge percentage to the UFC, but, you know, that's what happened when you sign those UFC slave master contracts. But even after he pays the UFC and all of that, he's still going to end up making, you know, 15, 20, 30 times more than he could have made for any UFC bout. And his personal brand is going to go through the roof. And if he lands literally one punch of significance against Mayweather, that would be considered as a win. And if, you know, if I'm McGregor, the only thing that I'm trying to do is survive like multiple rounds, because the more rounds that he survives, the better his overall perception is going to be. I honestly think Mayweather could probably beat him into submission within a couple of rounds, but I think he's going to carry him a little bit. Just so people get some bang, you know, for their buck. But who knows? Maybe they say, look, the check is cleared and I got it and I'm just going to, you know, knock him out. It's hard for me to say. Nick, as far as McGregor, he doesn't have a chance. But, you know, I don't know how he's going to react to getting hit with punches, you know, from a boxer. Like, you know, I know he has a pretty good, you know, chin. And, you know, even though he's been wobbled a few times by some bigger guys, he seems to have, you know, a good beard, as they say in boxing. So, I mean, do know Mayweather, his hands are still brittle and he's getting older. So we don't know how that will work. I don't know if he could, like, if McGregor can actually just take the beating, you know, like Julio Cesar Chavez did against Canelo, just took the beating for 12 rounds. I guess that part would be somewhat, you know, intriguing to see how he handles the punishment. I don't think he would quit or anything, but I guess, like, look at it. I'm like the radio. I'm giving you reasons to try to be intrigued, and nobody's paying me for that. Maybe I should try to get a sponsorship or something. Maybe I can get some of this $100 million.
You've been listening to the Drip Drop Hour with Robert Littell. You can follow Robert on Twitter at BSO and keep up with everything in the world of sports and entertainment by going to blacksportsonline.com. See you next week. Same bad time. She make that same bad trip. Drip, drippity, drop. Drip, drop. I do my dance. Drip, drop. Drip, drippity.